I'm the pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church. We are so glad you're here. And I know our choir is a little nervous, but also a little excited, but we're glad you're here. Trust that you've been praying for them. Thank you, friends and neighbors that have come out to support your friends and neighbors and co-workers. We're glad you're here. And tonight, here in just a few moments, we'll have an opening word of prayer, and I'll have a seat in our choir, and we'll take over in our actors. And at the very end of the cantata, I will come back and make a few comments, and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll make our way over to the fellowship hall. If you'd like to hang around, we have some store-bought and some homemade cookies, some hot chocolate, as well as some coffee. You're welcome to hang around in fellowship. I'll remind Harvest folks to let our guests have the right of way with the tables and chairs, and we'll make our way around the best that we can. Thank you so much for parking over there for our Harvest family to make room for our guests. And then also for our Harvest family, we will not be taking up a regular offering like we normally do. We don't want our guests to feel like we invited them to watch something and take their money. So we will have the offering plates on the table on your way out. If you weren't here this morning or you need to give, you can do that on your way out. But once again, we're so glad you're here. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings and the much work that our cantata and choir members and actors have put in over the last several weeks for tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Father, we thank you for our Harvest family, Lord, that is here, our guests and neighbors and friends and those in the community that come out to support their friends and their neighbors. We're so grateful for them. And Father, I pray that you'd be with our choir and those that are acting in our cantata, that they would truly be a blessing, a source of encouragement for those that are here tonight. They put in much time in practicing, Father, so I pray that you bless them, use them in a mighty way that Christ would be glorified. Father, we love you. And Father, help us always remember the reason for the season this year, this month of December, for the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Joey Miller, and tonight, with the help of my mom and my pastor, I'd like to share a little bit of our story with you.
Christmas was always a wonderful time of year at our house. My husband, Robert, loved me with all his heart, and our son, Joey, brought an extra helping of joy to everything we did. My life was all I had prayed it would be and more.
The Miller family was a glowing beacon of happiness in our church. Every time the church doors were open, they were there.
Every Christmas, Mom bought a big red Christmas candle that she lit at sunset every evening in December. She kept it in our front window so that everyone in the neighborhood could see it.
I let our Christmas candle burn until bedtime every night, and I could usually make one candle last all the way through December.
Sarah Miller was especially gifted in speech and music, so when Joey was about 6 years old, I asked Sarah if she would be in charge of putting together our first ever Christmas program.
Mom never did anything halfway, and the Christmas program was no exception. Before long, just about everyone in the church was involved, and though it was a lot of work, everybody loved it.
The Saturday before Christmas, we had a dress rehearsal that started at noon. To give me some time to collect my thoughts, Robert offered to take Joey out to their favorite pancake house at about 10 a.m. Robert was always so thoughtful.
So Dad and I went out and got blueberry pancakes and sunny-side-up eggs. I just loved being with my dad. He was my hero.
The rehearsal went from noon until 3 o'clock, and Sarah ran things like a pro. Before it was over, everyone knew exactly what was to do, and I couldn't wait for the Sunday evening performance. We were all so excited.
On Sunday afternoon, we had planned to go get burgers and milkshakes about 4 p.m., but I told Robert and Joey to go ahead without me. I needed some time alone to pray and review details. At the last minute, I got the idea to take my Christmas candle to church and to put it at the front of the platform. It was the perfect finishing touch.
I remember that first program so vividly. We had borrowed a lamb from a local farmer, and 5 minutes before the program, the lamb started prancing around the stage and entertaining everybody. It was so much fun.
We had a record attendance that night. I was so nervous I could hardly sit still. But when Pastor Morgan stood up to welcome everyone, God quieted my spirit and replaced my nervousness with overflowing joy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the very first Christmas program we've ever attempted here at the church. I especially want to thank Sarah Miller for her hard work putting all this together. We definitely could not have done this without her. Now I'd like to invite you to sit back and enjoy yourself as the choir takes us back in time to that very first Christmas.
Thank you.
Imagine standing with the shepherds as the angels announced the arrival of the Messiah. Imagine traveling with them to the manger and gazing into the face of baby Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What an unbelievable night that must have been.
That first program was a grand success, and everyone loved it. From then on, Mom was in charge of the Christmas program, and everyone looked forward to it all year long.
Robert and Joey also kept up their Christmas tradition of Saturday 10 a.m. breakfast at the Pancake House and Sunday 4 p.m. supper at their favorite burger place. They grew to be very, very close.
Every morning after Dad left for work, Mom and I would read through the Bible together. She had us on a schedule where we read through the entire Bible every year.
I so enjoyed the time that Joey and I had alone reading scripture. I also would often talk to Joey about trusting Christ as his Savior.
Mom would explain to me that Jesus loved me and died on the cross so that my sins could be washed away.
I would go through all the Bible verses about receiving Christ. But for some reason, Joey always put it off. Joey's salvation became the main focus of all my prayers.
As the years passed, the Miller family gradually began to have some struggles. Robert started to drift. No one really knew why, but everyone could see it. Robert was slipping away from his family and from the Lord.
I thought it must be my fault, and I did everything I could to try to pull him back to the Lord and to us, but nothing seemed to help. When he was at home, he was usually on his computer, and Robert's temper began to be a constant problem. The tension in our home was unbearable.
By the time I was 15, my dad was a different person. He was distant, like his mind was always somewhere else, and he disappeared a lot. For work, he said, but I was never sure.
I tried to talk to Robert a number of times to see if I could help, but he made it very clear that he did not want to see me or talk with me.
When December came, I put the Christmas candle in the front window just like always. I told Joey that every time we saw the candle burning, it could remind us to pray for his dad and not to lose hope that God would work a miracle.
The Sunday of the church program, Dad and I went out for burgers at 4 p.m. like usual. But he didn't want to talk. When I asked him questions, he got really mad and told me to mind my own business. When I wouldn't leave him alone, he came down on me with an explosion of words that I will remember for the rest of my life.
When Robert and Joey got to church for the program, I knew something was wrong. Joey seemed to be in some kind of fog, and Robert wore an angry look that was becoming all too familiar. I prayed that the Christmas songs would somehow speak to Robert's heart. Little did I realize that everything was about to change.
Good evening. Welcome to our annual Christmas program. We're delighted you joined us to celebrate God's gift of his Son. Sing along with us as we welcome the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of all the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is important to remember that God first loved us. Tonight I can assure you that God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. And tonight he is reaching out to you in love, saying, "Come to me. Trust my Son to be your Savior. I have provided a way for you to have your sins forgiven. Take my gift of salvation and come be with me forever in heaven. Tonight God is reaching out to you. Will you receive his gift?"
After the program, Dad made a feeble attempt at an apology, but I knew I'd never forget the things he said to me that afternoon. And then by Christmas Day, he was gone. Just like that, he left.
He left.
And suddenly, we were alone.
Our church family encircled us with loving arms and tried to help, but both Joey and I were devastated. I cried and cried. But Joey just withdrew into a world of his own making.
My heart broke for Joey and his mom when Robert left them. Our church reached out in every way we could, but a darkness had descended on Joey that would not be lifted.
Two people just doesn't seem like a family. Mom had to pick up another job to pay the bills, and I was on my own most of the time. Sure, the church families made an effort, but I didn't want their pity. I didn't want a refrigerator full of casseroles. I wanted my dad.
Christmas was never the same after that. At first, the Christmas season brought back a flood of painful memories. But as the years passed, the gleam of my Christmas candle reminded me that Jesus, the light of the world, still loved us and would take care of us.
Why did Dad leave? Maybe Mom knew, but she wouldn't say. And in the end, I realized it didn't matter why he left, only that he did. The hurtful things he said to me that day of the program kept replaying over and over again in my mind.
I prayed daily for a way to help Joey. He was bewildered and confused at first, but it was swiftly changing to rage right in front of me.
Dad said I was stupid. My grades took a nosedive soon after he left, and before long, I was failing half my classes. He said a lot of other things, too. And with one failure after another, I began to prove him right.
Joey started coming home with black eyes and bloody knuckles. I marched him straight into counseling with Pastor Morgan, but that only seemed to make him angrier.
I started meeting with Joey every week, but he stonewalled my attempts to help with a mixture of silence and an I don't care attitude.
By the next Christmas, Joey was almost unrecognizable as the sweet little boy I remembered. He was so angry. And no matter how many people were around him, he always seemed alone.
When it came time for the church program, I couldn't even walk in the door of the church. I know it hurt Mom's feelings, but I skipped her program that night and every Christmas after that. In fact, I boycotted the whole Christmas season. Every decorated tree and Christmas carol reminded me of my dad, and Mom's Christmas candle glowing in the front window seemed to shine a spotlight on the gaping hole in my heart.
The years passed, Christmas after Christmas. My heart broke every December when the rest of the world turned merry and Joey retreated a little further inside himself. By God's grace, we managed to get him through high school. And while his GPA wouldn't get him into any decent college, at least he had a diploma.
Mom was so relieved when I managed to graduate and so proud of that wretched diploma as if it would somehow save me. Never mind that my grand destiny was likely to be flipping burgers for the rest of my life.
I was genuinely surprised every time Joey showed up in my office, but our counseling sessions were the only things he never tested his mother on. However, once he turned 18, he disappeared from our church as swiftly as if he'd been swallowed by the shadows that seemed to haunt his soul.
I didn't seek out friends. And honestly, that's probably just as well, since I doubtless would have been drawn to the wrong people. But being alone in your own head can be just as destructive. My past was a black hole, my present no better, and my future was as good as lost, too. I was without hope, plunging headlong into darkness, and I knew it.
I worked 60 hours a week just to keep the lights on at home. But in December, I took a little time off to put together the Christmas program, which was always the highlight of my year. I cataloged my life by the songs we sang. Each one felt like a chapter in a diary, something new God was teaching me, or another way he was comforting me and giving me hope.
I was stunned when I got the call. It was the day of the Christmas program, and there was Joey Miller on the phone. I hadn't seen him in years. He was in jail for beating a man half to death in a barroom brawl. He'd been in lockup for 2 days. The man he had assaulted was going to be all right, but this wasn't Joey's first time in jail, and the bail was high, almost to the penny what I had in my savings.
There were only two people in the world I could think of that would help me, and I just couldn't bring myself to call Mom, so I called Pastor Morgan.
I knew with a groan that the bail amount matching my saving was no coincidence. It was as if the Holy Spirit were whispering in my ear, "You prayed for years for a way to make a difference in this boy's life. Here's your chance."
Pastor came and got me. He didn't lecture me or preach at me. He told me his only condition for posting my bail was that I attend the church Christmas program. That evening, when I stepped out of the darkness into the glittering light of the church lobby. My chest felt tight, and my stomach was somewhere down in my shoes. Thousands of Christmas lights set the church ablaze, and right at the front of the platform was Mom's Christmas candle. It was exactly the way I remembered it. The last time I'd been at church on this night, it had been the end of everything.
Joey halted at the entrance to the auditorium and stood there for a moment as if he were frozen. My own feelings were in turmoil. Should I speak? Should I be silent? For a second, I thought he might turn around and run, but then he took a step into the auditorium and slipped into a back seat.
I thought I was hallucinating when I saw Joey in the back row, sitting at the edge of the shadows with Christmas lights illuminating his face. His usual harsh expression was softer, uncertain. I prayed that God would touch his heart. I prayed that God would yank my boy back to him.
I didn't know what else to do, so I just prayed.
I just prayed.
Good evening. Welcome to our annual Christmas program. Thank you for coming. Let's begin tonight by singing a few familiar carols to begin our time of remembering God's gracious gift of his Son.
Hallelujah.
Jesus came to a world that was lost in sin, a world that was without hope. He came to bring forgiveness and cleansing, love, joy, and peace. He came to a world that was shrouded in darkness and brought glorious light. Tonight, let's remember that a little over 2,000 years ago, hope was born. Tonight, let us remember the reason why Jesus came to this earth. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to die so that we could be forgiven of our sins and live with him forever. Galatians 1:4 says that Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Most of us have heard this message so often that perhaps it doesn't touch our hearts the way it really should. Tonight, see Jesus, your Savior, dying where you should have died. Feel the agony he suffered for you, and let's ask God to break our stony hearts.
I can feel the sea.
Each song seemed to be aimed at me somehow, and I found myself remembering all the stories about Jesus I'd heard as a child, from the baby in the manger to the carpenter shop to the agony of the cross. I suddenly realized that Joseph kind of disappeared from Jesus' story along the way. When things started getting tough for Jesus, his father wasn't there. Of course, Joseph probably hadn't run out on him and Mary, but gone is gone.
I watched Joey all through the program. I could see the conflicting emotions warring on his face,
and I prayed.
And then it hit me like a punch in the stomach that even God abandoned his son. When he was on the cross, Jesus cried out to his father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The program had ended, and I hadn't even noticed. Most of the people were gone, and Pastor Morgan was sitting next to me. I turned and bitterly spoke to him. Even God abandoned his son. Is that just what fathers do?
No, Joey, men fail every day. But God forsook his son so that he wouldn't have to forsake us. He welcomes us all to be his children, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He promised that, and he never breaks his promises. You don't have to be alone. You have a heavenly father who loves you, a savior who died for you, and you have a mother right here who loves you with every fiber of her being.
Mom was standing there, not saying anything, her eyes all teary. A thousand tiny Christmas bulbs flared and blurred together in streaks of light. And I realized I was crying too, 22 years old and crying like a baby. Mom got all huggy, but for once I didn't mind. Merry Christmas, Mom, I said. And for the first time since I was 15, I actually meant it.
Merry Christmas, Joey.
I knew what I needed to do, and I asked Pastor Morgan to help me. Jesus had died to save me, and I had rejected him long enough.
Joey was ready to trust Christ as his Savior, and it was a joy to see what God was doing in his heart.
As hard as I had prayed for this moment, I still felt like I was living in a dream. My son prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him for his many sins, and then he asked Jesus to cleanse him and be his Savior.
Again, my mom had her arms around me, and again, we were both crying. I'll never forget the joy of that moment.
It was one of the sweetest times I've ever witnessed. I had prayed for this miracle for so long, and now God was answering my prayer.
I pleaded guilty on the assault charges and got 90 days in jail, along with anger management counseling. I didn't let those days go to waste. I spent them reading my Bible and praying and writing letters to the people I'd hurt asking forgiveness.
I got the sweetest letter from Joey, apologizing page after page.
I got a letter too, thanking me for all those years of counseling sessions when he was a teenager. He sure didn't act like it at the time, but as it turns out, those hours really meant something to him. Knowing that someone cared, that I hadn't given up on him, that God hadn't given up on him, made an impact that I couldn't see.
The last letter I wrote was to my dad. After I finally found his address, I told him how angry I had been at him and asked him to forgive me. I also told him that I loved him and that I would love to see him.
And now Joey and I are both praying for Robert. Every time I light my Christmas candle, I'm reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. And every time I look at Joey, I'm reminded that God still works miracles in people's hearts.
I am on supervised probation and taking classes at a community college now and also studying under Pastor Morgan to be a counselor. I traveled a dark road to get here, but even though I walked through a valley of shadows, God never deserted me. God's word doesn't return void, and prayers to him never go unanswered. I had no hope, but God answered the prayers of a godly pastor and a praying mother, and now my hope is Jesus.
Built on than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus.
When darkness hides my Savior's face, I rest on His unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong,
I still lift up salvation's song. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Thank you, choir. You know, I hope tonight that your hope is Jesus. The Bible says in Jude 22, and some have compassion making a difference. And about 20-some people in our small little church has met every week to practice from the choir, the actors, the sound room, the nursery workers, helping with kids so they might practice. They put time in for you. And we trust today, if you're here visiting with us tonight, we are honored that you're here. But my question to you tonight before we go home is your trust in Jesus. I have a saying that I say almost every Sunday and oftentimes in other services. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? If you have the smallest doubt, that means you don't have much hope. Or maybe you're holding on to some hope. But the Bible says we can know where we will spend eternity. And it's all about the hope of Jesus, our Heavenly Father who gave His Son, who was born on Christmas Day, and then gave His life and walked here on earth for over 33 years and gave His life that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I'd like to invite you to please come by and talk to me, talk to someone in the choir, talk to one of the ushers, talk to someone nearby and ask if they can speak with you or someone in our church that can show you and take the Bible how you can know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. And dear friends, that's what Christmas is all about. The birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have folks in our church from all walks of life. I was looking up and noticing our choirs they sang tonight, and I think our youngest choir member is somewhere in their 20s, and our oldest is 80. We've got folks in our congregations where church begins to grow, and I begin to notice even in our choir, we have 8 folks that are singing in our choir tonight that are new to our church this year. We have new families in our church that is growing. And just tell you just a little bit about our church, and we'll get back again and we'll sing another Christmas carol before we leave tonight, is we are a conservative church with no apologies. We love the Lord. We use the Word of God to preach and teach out of, not a Reader's Digest. We don't take the hits from the radio station and others to sing, but we sing hymns and godly music that lifts up the Lord, that prepares our heart and teaches us something, that teaches us theology, the old hymns. And we're not ashamed, and without apology, we believe that. We'd love to invite you to come back and visit with us. If you don't have a church home, we meet every Sunday morning for our main worship hour at 10 o'clock. We have an evening service like we did tonight on 6 o'clock on Sunday, 6:30 on Wednesday night. And they're all different. And I don't show up on the screen. I'm here live every service. A little bit different. I know our world has changed. But there are some things I think should not change. And let's get back to one more thing. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll sing a Christmas carol. And then we'll go over and have a time in the fellowship hall with hot cocoa, coffee, and cookies. We want to invite you to take your time. Greet one another. Talk one with another. Make your way over at your leisure. But we want to invite you to hang around and get to know us a little more. But dear friends, remember, again, my hope is Jesus. Is that your hope? Let's bow your heads, if you would, for a word of prayer before we sing. And I'd like to just ask a few questions, and then we'll sing a song before we dismiss. Maybe you're here today, and there's no one looking at me. No usher is going to come by. I'm not going to come to you. But maybe you'd just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, you know, my hope is not in Christ. I'm not sure where I would spend eternity, but would you pray for me?" Anyone like that would just slip your hand up and down. I would not come to you. I will not embarrass you. I will just pray for you because God knows your name and knows who you are. Would you say, "Preachers, pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died, if I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that across the auditorium today? By looking across and seeing no one's hands raised, I rejoice in knowing that everyone here is saying, "I know Christ as my personal Savior." I rejoice in that. But if you have some doubts, maybe you've gotten away from the Lord and really need to find your way back to where you need to be. Maybe you've been away from church and maybe you've wandered, haven't been there for a while. Maybe you have moved off or moved back into the area and haven't found a church home. We'd like to be a help and a source of encouragement to you in any way that we possibly can. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the work that Brother Sam and the choir and those who work in the sound booth and in the nursery, Lord, that has put into over these last several weeks, that labor of love, that compassion, that we might present something and minister to our church family as well as to our community. Father, thank you for their dedication. Bless them. And now, Father, I pray that you'd be those that are here with us tonight, Lord, that you'd bless our fellowship after the service. Bless our time, Lord, in the fellowship hall. And Lord, I pray again, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, maybe they was a little nervous, didn't want to raise their hand, wasn't sure, but doesn't know in their heart that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Father, would you give them the courage they need to come and talk to someone, to ask me or someone in the choir, Father, who can help them or direct them to someone who can. And then, Father, there's a Christian here tonight, maybe that's gotten away from the Lord or maybe have been bouncing around in church, haven't found a place where they're happy or really feel like they can settle in. Father, would you encourage them to come back for another visit to get to know us a little more. Now, Father, bless the remainder time of our service. May you be uplifted and glorified, and we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for it. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Sam.